Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great day to be practicing, isn't it?
Isn't it? Now is just always such a perfect time.
Yes, indeed. And I have announcements here.
All right. I bet you do. We've got a lot going on.
Yes, we do. Recording and listening is a simple and powerful tool that assists us in accessing the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature and live the life we want. Our five-week class, which begins March 13th, includes recording and listening exercises and time in class to process your experience. Sangha is once again invited to deepen practice at our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June 14 to August 18. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. Registration is limited, so sign up soon.
Very exciting.
Yes, indeed. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
And a little reminder, I don't know if everybody knows this, there's a blog coming out tomorrow, and I am kind of excited about it. So I'm hoping that people will give it a look. As I think I said at the beginning of it, you might want to get a cup of tea or coffee or something, put your feet up because it's really long. But I think there's a lot of fun news in it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Isn't
that? I'm not going to be able to sleep.
I know.
with a teaser like that. Wow. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry tonight, please press *6 and then 1 to make Gas Show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. All right, so let's get rolling here, Sharon.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga.
Hey, Helga.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on, but what I was going to talk about was that this morning I looked at my emails. I'm in the email class, and I looked at my emails, and somehow, I don't know how, I missed the first assignment.
Ouch.
And, yeah. I didn't see it. I just didn't see the email. I don't know, I don't know how it happened. But what happened right after that was this such a feeling of exasperation. And I recognize that feeling. It comes up regularly, and, what came out first was, I saw my mother. My mother was exasperated pretty much all the time. So, it's so familiar to me. And what I realized was that it's a reaction that I have, when I miss something, when I forget something, when something isn't working the way I thought it should, and a lot of it has to do with getting older, forgetting something, which I then immediately, the reason for that is that I'm getting older and my brain isn't working as well. And
don't you love that? I mean, I just got to stop you right there just because I got to comment on that. I have to. It's like when you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, even probably your 50s, you forget stuff all the time. But it's just that you're stupid or incompetent or irresponsible or not paying attention or whatever the voice wants to tell you. But then you hit a certain age, and it's because you're old. Now you're old.
Exactly. Exactly. I was actually thinking, you know, it's like, you know, I've been around these children for so long now. And, you know, kids forget something all the time. I mean, they would forget their head if they could.
Yes.
That's what my mom said. You know, she used to say that to me when I was a kid. It's like, you would forget your head if it wasn't screwed up onto your body, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, and I remembered that, you know, and I thought, that's so interesting. It's like now everything that goes wrong, everything that doesn't go according to plan, or as I said, you know, I forget stuff, and, it's age. And so what I looked at this reaction, you know, and what's underneath, you know, when I dig down deep enough, is like this fear. This fear of losing control of my mental capacities, you know, not so much physical yet. I mean, I'm sure that'll come down the road eventually, but just, you know, really kind of the mental acuity and losing control. And it just brings up fear, and that gets masked with, you know, this exasperation, you know, and then I thought, with that, I thought, you know, I don't want to get old with this exasperated voice in my head, you know, I mean, it's challenging enough, you know, it's like, it's just so unfriendly.
Well, exactly. In fact, I was just looking at that because I didn't miss the first class. And so, and by the way, I hope you'll still do the first class and go ahead and send me what you see, okay? But what this brings up is, for me anyway, and it's, I was just looking at it before the, this radio show, it's such a subtle point and trying to see how that might be expressed. It's like, so what is the difference? And that's what our conversation tonight has been about. You've always forgotten stuff. We always forget stuff for exactly the same reason, because we are distracted by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. That's what's always going on, right? It's a setup. Look over there. You look over there. It hits you on the side of the head and calls you stupid for not paying attention. That's been going on forever. It's always got a reason for it. Okay, if you had somebody in your life that you were having difficulty with, it would be their fault. If you had a job that you the voices were on you about, that would be the fault. It would always be something that is there offered as the reason for you being the way you are, which is not the way you should be. It's the same story. And what happens with people with something, I mean, so for a long time, people don't even notice it. Well, first of all, for a long time, people just believe it. Yeah, I'm somehow flawed. I'm inadequate. Yeah, I have a problem with that or whatever it is. Whatever the voice is saying is wrong with me, I'm just believing it, right? But then there gets to be a certain, well, we're going to look at age, sickness, pain and death, right? The big four. So the same thing can happen with sickness or with pain, right? Or with a death, especially if it's not our own, right? So it gets to this point where, but this is really real. This is really real. And so you might have been able to deal with all this at another time, because it wasn't as real. That wasn't, I can see that really wasn't real. But this is really real. And so now you have to, and away we go. You have to feel this way. You have to behave this way. You have to believe this. You have to get upset. You have to be afraid. You have to, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So if people could just see that nothing is any different, it's just the label. Okay, first you had to be afraid of food, and then you had to be afraid of relationship, and then you had to be afraid of money, and then you had to be afraid of whatever it is. And now you have to be afraid of old age. The process is exactly the same, and people react in exactly the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was that just so incredibly helpful? You're almost speechless. Well, you know, it does take us to a place of, okay, Sherry, that's lovely. So what? Right? But seeing that nothing has changed, perhaps we can turn our attention to, why am I believing this garbage? I mean, if I wanted to believe all of that when I was going to live forever, okay, well, you know, it was a waste of time and energy, but, you know, okay. But now I can see. I have way less. If I live as long
right.
as a human being can possibly live, it's a way shorter time than where I've been. Why? If there's ever a good time to turn it around and stop the nonsense, this would be it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. You know, it's like, do I want to spend, you know, these years that I have left, you know, with this voice in my head that, like, you know, is exasperated every time I make a mistake, every time I forget something, every time, you know, whatever happens, you know, and I really don't. I mean, it's just so...
No, and again, Helga, what's so funny to me about that is, if it's so exasperated, why didn't it remind you? Right? Why is it? I mean, come on.
It's not its job. Its job is only to be exasperated.
Exactly so. Whether there's anything wrong with you or not, its job is to be exasperated. That is a big bingo moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love the class. I love that the subject. You know, it's so big, and you know, I've been reading the responses, and it's just so universal.
It's like a program, isn't it?
Almost.
Yeah, it's like a program or a a play. Okay, now you're a little baby. Okay, now you're a child. Now you're a teenager. Now you're a young adult. Now you're a middle-aged adult. Now you're old. Okay, here we go. And we're meant to just follow along and read our lines and feel bad when we're supposed to. Or I'm going to suggest that we could rebel. We don't have to follow the script.
Mm. You know, there was somebody writing about that, but I've thought about that too. It's like, you know, I feel like, you know, for me, there's very few role models of older people, and I want to say women in particular for me, where I feel like, you know, these are shining examples of how to get older. You know, and you're one of them. There was a woman named Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Yep.
That
Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall. You know, that are so, to me, you know, so alive. You know,
yes.
So vibrant. And it's like so wonderful for me to see that I can see it is possible. You know, you
absolutely.
Don't have to go down and this slide, you know, into a miserable, depressive old age and then just roll over into the grave. You know,
exactly.
It's like we can be alive till the very last breath if we, you know, I would feel like...
If we choose to. If we choose to, Helga.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. We have to choose it. So in your spare time, which I know you must have tons of, that could be a marvelous thing to do. Find those for you women. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have many more role models with men because they're the ones that get famous, right? Women don't tend to get famous. So even though they're extraordinary, they're not as familiar to us, right? So if I say Gandhi, everybody knows Gandhi, right? But Margaret Mead or, you know. But to look at that, start looking at who are these women and what kind of lives did they live? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Eleanor Roosevelt was one for me. Yeah. Rosalind Carter. Yeah. Yeah. Just lots and lots and lots. Mm. Let's be those.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you have to kind of find these people, because then you can see it is possible.
That's right. And we find them, but it's most important to be them.
Hmm.
That's it. And so what were those people doing? What are they doing?
Right.
What is it?
Yeah.
What are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We're on it.
Yep.
We got it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Helga.
Thank you.
Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. And that was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. And I love the idea of just rebelling and just not going along with the kind of cultural narrative of old and decline and all that.
Yep. Yep. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I was reading something recently, and this guy was talking about telling the story about how he and his wife had gone to a concert at a park, and he had forgotten to bring their little lawn chairs, right? And he said, you know, I'm 83. Like, it's a given. If you're 83, you can't remember lawn chairs when you're going to a concert. and then he talked about not being able to get up off the ground. And again, because he's 83. Well, come on. And that's the kind of thing that people just accept. They just believe it. They have a pain. They have to go to the doctor, and they have arthritis, and so, well, that's the end of that. Get out my recliner, and away I don't go. Yeah. So we got to rebel. This is it. It's up to us. Yeah. Good.
Yes. Yes. And having great role models, as you both talked about, is critical.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
I don't know if I'm going to do this, Michael. I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I'm going to put it out there, okay? Because I was talking with somebody about, sitting cross-legged on the floor and how, you know, going back to full lotus and that sort of thing, just to see, you know, just to do it, just to have a goal. And so it just occurred to me the other day that, as you probably remember, because I was on about it all the time, I bench-pressed my body weight when I was 60. And I had this little thought of doing it for my 80th birthday, and then it just never happened. We were doing a lot of other things. And so it dropped in the other day, well, maybe 85. And so I don't know. Will I be able to bench press my body weight when I'm 85? I don't know. But I think it'd be wildly fun to find out. And so whatever, I wish a group of people would get together with me on that. You know, what would you like to do? Somebody wants to bike 100 miles, or they want to, I don't know what somebody might want to do that they've always wanted to do and got talked out of it, or the voices say that's crazy, you could never do that. And just, you know, we'll just pick a topic and we'll just do it, because that's part of the rebellion. We're not violent people. If we're going to rebel, it's going to be a peaceful rebellion, right? Where we just become more than the voices say we can possibly be, and just get happier and happier and happier as we're doing it.
I love it. Count me in.
Me too. All right, good. You'll let me know.
Yes, indeed. And Sherry, we're going to go to Good News Update now, and then we'll come back and talk to more callers.
All right, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jen, I'm turning it over to you for a Good News Update.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the RL training classes. Welcome, Laura.
Hello.
Hello. So as we heard Michael announce at the beginning of the show, we have one of the RL training classes on the schedule coming up. I think it's late March. It begins, and so we thought it would be fun to hear from someone about their experience of participating. So thank you for being with us today to do that.
Yeah, happy to do it.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that was like. I think you've taken it more than once, actually. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that the introductory one, I think I've done three times. Twice as a group class and one individually, just with an individual coach. And the last time was just this fall, so it's fresh in my mind.
So fresh. It's so funny, Laura, because I was practicing restraint with it as Michael and Sherry were having that last conversation thinking, see, this is a perfect place where recording and listening shines, right? And there's so many ways that that training class really helps us to see that, to take it to our everyday lives. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just found it, I've found it helpful every time that I've taken it. And this last time, you know, because I've taken the introductory one several times. I've also taken the, I forget now what the, what chance.
True Reflections.
Mm-hmm. True Reflections, yes. And so there can be kind of a story of like, well, you already record, you know how to record and listen, you know, nothing new here.
Right. Don't look here.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I was really grateful that I didn't listen to that story because as part of the class, you go through, there's lots of different ways of doing recording and listening and using recording and listening. And even though I've been exposed to all of those, it doesn't mean that I remember about them or actually incorporate them. And so to have the opportunity where we're really going through kind of that full range of different ways that you can use recording and listening, it was just helpful. And I really just enjoyed it. I mean, as part of the class is, you know, during the class, you do recording and listening. You know, there's some kind of instruction, and then you just go off. And, you know, there's so many minutes or whatever for you to record and listen. So it's hard to find excuses not to record and listen under those circumstances.
Yes. You've already underlined two of my very favorite things about it, Laura. So there's that support to do it. You know, for most of us, anyone who's been recording and listening for a period of time, you know, longer than sort of getting past that first resistance hurdle that pretty much gets thrown at everyone when they attempt to start recording and listening, ego can't stand it. But anyone who's gotten past that, I think, really sees and understands and experiences the value of recording and listening and awareness practice. We just do. And the joy and companionship and assistance and support that it brings to our lives. And exactly as you're saying, that doesn't mean necessarily that we remember all the different ways to use it and that we actually are using it. And so it's so helpful to come together and have this period of time set aside where we're with other people, we're all doing it, and we actually do it. That's the support that we need to keep really making it part of our everyday lives.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, I've been recording and listening for quite a few years now, so I've got lots of recordings, but I found, like, some of the recordings that I made in that class this fall, I've just been, are the ones that I have just been loving listening to and have been listening to over and over again. And one of my experiences actually that I was remembering as I was sort of reflecting on my experience was that, you know, I was going through something a little bit challenging on the content level while the class was going on, and it ended up being a support for me in that way too, because, you know, in addition to doing the recording and listening during the actual class itself, then you have assignments of different types of recording and listening to do during the week, and so to have that focus every week, or, you know, every day I'm doing a particular thing, you know, was just really helpful to have that structure.
That's a beautiful point, because what I really saw, I know that curriculum quite well also, having gone through it a number of times myself, is what you're describing and what's certainly my experience is that, so we're going through something difficult in our lives, and every single one of those skills that we learn in that class is another way to assist us with going through something in our lives, You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're all, the overarching, of course, is directing attention. That's what we're doing in awareness mm-hmm. practice. And that's why recording and listening is so brilliant, is it's this very concrete tool for directing attention. But there are all these lovely different ways in each of those classes of going about that. And so that really would be an assistance to go through it, even with a particular thing that, you know, you're going through at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that something that is helpful, particularly for folks who are newer to recording and listening, is that, I mean, I think as Michael mentioned in the beginning, you know, during the classes, you have the assignments, but then there's always time to process about what you're seeing or to ask questions or that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. That's just another support, because harder for conditioning to get into, well, I don't know how to do that, or things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of my favorite things in the class is when people are willing to bring what they're struggling with in their recording and listening mm-hmm. practice to the class.
Mm-hmm.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's never anything someone brings to the class that I can't relate to, if that was the right mm-hmm. number of negatives in there. I'm not sure. So I predict a lot of times, because a lot of times when people talk about recording and listening on radio shows and that sort of thing, they're talking about a breakthrough they had with it, or, you know, this amazing experience they had. And so for people, as you say, who are newer to it or who are struggling with it, can have kind of this, I would project, sort of a conversation in the head of like, well, why can't you do that? And why can't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that the class is brilliant for that reason, because people hopefully, you know, bring those things to the class. There's certainly the time and space and it's structured for that to be there also. And then mm-hmm. we all get to see things in it, because, you know, the voice, it's just like Sherry and Helga were talking about with aging, the voices are saying the same things to everyone. You know, there's a slight yes. nuance change here or there, but they're really talking to all of us about the same thing. And so mm-hmm. to have people, mm-hmm. to have that happen in the context of the class and be able to talk through it and look at it and then bring that to one's recording practice, that whole process is so applicable to our entire practice.
Yeah. Yeah, and something that I also appreciated about the class was that it was a mix of people who are, you know, newer yep. to recording and listening, and then people who've been doing it for many years. And
yep.
it's just so helpful to have both, because I yep. think as people often talk about on open air, you know, some of the most, for me, and I think for others, some of the most inspiring calls and the ones that are, you know, touch me the most are the ones from people who are just starting out. And,
absolutely.
And so to be able to, because I think it, you know, what you were talking about earlier, just the, everything that recording listening brings, just the, that companionship and that mm-hmm. sense of never being alone and mm-hmm. just all of those things that, just seeing people starting out, it's like you see how much you would want that for them. And yeah. how powerful it is for them, and then it reminds you what it is for you.
Yeah, really well put, Laura. And that piece of it of you can feel yourself want it for that new person, and then mm-hmm. to own that projection. You know, I want it yeah. for Laura. I want it for Jen. Yeah. You know, for each of us, and that really can be such a, you know, so when the resistance is there, to just say, you know, no, I really want to show up for her in this way.
Yeah.
Well, and just the last piece is that I think that really speaks to your willingness to do the class again. You know, there can be that mm-hmm. sense of like, no, I've done that class. But of course, I mean, yeah, we've done the class, but no, we haven't. We're always different. It's brand new. We're mm-hmm. going to hear new things in it. We're with a whole different group of people. And if we want mm-hmm. to master something, in my experience, we want to be exposed to it over and over and over again. And it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. It's such a mm-hmm. lovely way mm-hmm. to practice with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And depending on how long it's been since the last time, you know, it's always getting tweaked. So Yeah, there are always new little surprises and new things. And
indeed. Well, Laura, thank you for being with us today to talk about your experience.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Go happy. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Laura. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
You know, Michael, I particularly appreciate, well, I appreciated all of those points that were made because they're such awareness practice points. And that last one about if you want to master something, you really need to practice it. You need to do it over and over and over and over and over. And we know that about everything. Right? I mean, if you decide you want to play the violin, if you know there's going to be some practice ahead of you, right? If you want to be a master of something, you have to put in the effort. And to have that be something that you really want to do in this case, because you're saving the only human being whose suffering you really know, and whose suffering you can end, and that's what's being mastered, putting an end to suffering, then to do it over and over and over again, it just becomes a joy.
Indeed, yeah, and that's really well stated. I mean, as you phrased it, the motivation is intrinsic.
I do want
to put in the work.
Yeah, and that's the key to the whole thing right there, is that in this case, what you said is, you know, I want to save me. So if I want to save me, and of course ego would say how selfish, and it's not at all, as we know. But if wanting to end the suffering of this human being is the most important thing, well, we say it all the time, you know. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we'll end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we won't end suffering. And that's what's being pointed at, with the amount of attention, the love, the commitment, the sincerity that goes into that. That's what transforms our lives. Not anything we get out of it, but everything that we're putting into it.
Yeah, fabulous. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, this is Paula. Well, hello, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. Oh, I was just enjoying these conversations so much and reminding me again and again about just how dynamic this practice is.
Mm.
It's ever changing, and yet it's ever expanding, and there is no end. It's not like, okay, you're going to get it and then you can go move on.
Exactly. It's just deeper and deeper, isn't it? Richer and richer.
Richer and richer and deeper and deeper. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I'm happy to be here. And one of so much of what I've heard tonight is just so much my experience as well, that, you know, we keep coming back to, you know, engaging, being. The first conversation really reminded me of, I have this candle that it's got a label on it. It says Warrior Woman, and it's about really. And I've had the candle for years, but it was kind of put away, and I brought it out, and I thought, I guess that's what life thought I needed to see.
Now's the time. Now's the time for that candle. That message. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and it's
really
like
true.
It's like that all the time, isn't it? If when we're paying attention, and it's just a little shift in focus that enables us to realize that everything we need for this now step is always being provided. So instead, so there's the candle. It was put away. Now, ego would say, why have you been dragging that thing? Why have you, I mean, come on. How long have you had that thing? You've never even, right? And it would be possible to miss the fact that, oh, that's a really important message for me right now. That's very good. Yeah?
Yeah.
But when we're here, we get the message.
Yeah. One of those things that just drops in when we're really paying attention.
Yeah.
That life is just speaking through us.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Speaking through us. That's a subtle one. We think it's speaking to us. and it does speak to us until we're ready to realize it's speaking through us. And then it's like it's having a front row seat at the most marvelous whatever it is, extravaganza, right? Because you hear that still small voice, and it's informing you, right? And then at a certain point, we realize that still small voice is transforming us. And more and more, our life is in line with what that still small voice has been telling us.
Yeah, and just listening, and tonight I realized that how all of this over the years, it sits perfectly together like a puzzle that I can finally see the, I can kind of see the big picture.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to describe that. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, everything's fitting together. Mm-hmm. There's that piece that, and listening to the different programs like the recording and listening coming up recently, but I'm currently participating in the Commitment Buddies as well as, reflective with
Listening Buddies?
Yeah, that. And I have just been so touched by the Commitment Buddies. I used to think, I'm not very involved. All I do is say, gosh, or something. And this has been transformed. It's like, I have a couple of folks, and it's like I'm just, my heart is just joyous for their, what I project, of course, is their experience. You know, there's no separation between me and these other people who are committed to this program. And I have been so lit up from that.
Yes. Yes. It's one of those things that, you really don't want to try to describe this to somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about, right? Because here, a total stranger, you don't even know who these people are. Right?
Right.
But they are making a commitment for their awareness practice. And your job, so at the end of the day, they say to you that we hope in most cases that they kept their commitment. Right?
Yeah.
And your job as their buddy is simply to write gusho. That's it. Not good job, yay, go team. Just gusho. And the joy that you feel for this total stranger being successful in something that is lighting up their life and their heart, it's the best feeling in the world. it's so much better than getting something that ego says would be for you.
Yes, that's so true.
Yep.
And the mm-hmm. the other part is true as well. When I've had to send a message that a text was not received, it touches me as well. Because mm-hmm. there are times when I've made commitments and I couldn't keep them. Or I mm-hmm. didn't. I forgot. I just forgot something.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's so relatable, and it's so precious in the big scheme of things. Just such pure preciousness that we are making the effort to be aware and mm-hmm. to pay attention. And I know I've heard this in practice many times, but we are very lucky beings.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because just what you're talking about, to be at a place in one's life where being happy for someone else is at least as happy as being happy for oneself.
Yeah, no difference.
No difference.
Yeah.
Yep.
The experience is glorious.
Yeah, yeah. Then we know we are fortunate indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Beth. What's going on?
You're in the headlights. I was wondering if you'd be willing to talk to me about Zen and the art of being neurodivergent.
Yes, I have some experience of that. I could certainly talk with you about that.
I've been looking at this for a couple of weeks and kind of looking at the phases of it. There was the majority of my life before I knew that I was neurodivergent.
Now, Beth,
yes.
I quite frankly just learned that term a few weeks ago. So for anybody else who for whom it sounds like you have some dread disease, you want to give a little definition of that?
Well, basically I have quite a few neurological issues. One, the primary one being ALS. Then being diagnosed with ADHD, and then kind of realizing that I have holes in my brain, and they're all connected.
Mm. Yeah. So basically, it used to be if you'd go and they'd say, "Oh, well, that's OCD, or that's ADD, or that's ADHD, or that's whatever these." Behaviors, these ways of being, ways of seeing things and processing, ways of experiencing life, they had different titles, and now they've got an umbrella.
Which are constantly changing.
Constantly changing. It's like I have a granddaughter who is, she started out special needs, but boy, has she had a lot as the caregivers get more sensitive. they keep coming up with new ways to talk about the same thing, right? So
which
not
keeps
to
it
be
at arm's length.
That's right, and not to be offensive. You know, we certainly don't want to make it seem like there's anything wrong with this person, even though everything that we're doing, thinking, saying, and everywhere we're being is just screaming, there is something wrong with you.
Yes.
We want to come up with a nice way of talking about it so that it's not offensive.
Yes.
So you're neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Me
and,
too. So, yeah, off we go.
There's one layer of, like, there's a relief in getting kind of, like, getting this information. Like, there's a reason why there's something wrong with me.
Right.
That's self-hate.
Oh, God.
And there's
yeah.
also the layer of, like, all the people I hurt before I knew that I was neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
And the mm-hmm. guilt of that. And, you know, it's like I look back at my monastery experience and so much of the frustrations people had with me, I had no idea why. But,
well, you know, Beth, as a person who's dealt with, at this point, thousands and thousands of people, you know, most of us never know why, right? What is going on with us at any point in time? It takes a lot of practice and paying attention and awareness.
Yes.
And,
Yes, and I'm so grateful to having the practice before I had the diagnosis, because there's a reason why I don't trust my brain. And
yeah, well, there's a reason. There's a good reason most people shouldn't trust their brains. In fact,
yeah.
I would go so far as to
really
say,
it doesn't really matter if I'm neurodivergent or not. It's the process.
That's right.
Is the same.
That's exactly right. That is beautifully stated. Yeah, I mean, find another human being. You know, people get all wound up about there are no two snowflakes that are alike. Excuse me.
Yes.
There's no two anything that's alike, right? And so find another human being just like you.
There isn't one.
No, there isn't one. Excuse me. There isn't one for anyone, right? So we're all divergent. Good.
Yes.
If
yes.
we would stop trying to nitpick in that egocentric way, I think, well, I know, we would be much happier, much more relaxed, and probably a great deal healthier.
Yes. And knowing that, you know, I have these difficulties, there are so many external tools that are now available.
Yes, and so many internal tools.
Yeah,
like
internal,
awareness.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my holes is in my emotional center. And I don't have emotional control. It's that part of the brain is just not there. But I've learned...
Well, once again, I would say then there are a lot of brains running around with holes in them. If
yes,
if having
are,
no control about emotions.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of us.
But knowing that I didn't have it internally, I've learned maybe 15 external ways. And one of them is living quietly. The more stimulation if I go out and I'm around people, I have, you know, it's worse. So living kind of a quiet life is one of my best tools.
Yes, yes. Well, and as a practitioner of awareness, I would say, again, that would be a wonderful thing for everybody. Because,
yes.
I'm sure you could drop the Buddha down in the midst of Mardi Gras, and he would be absolutely fine, okay? The rest of us, probably not so much so.
Yeah.
So, we would probably all benefit from allowing our nervous system to calm, to have quiet. And, you know,
yes.
in practice, we always encourage people a time every day of silence and solitude. Why? You know, because what's going to happen is you're going to realize how much better you feel as a result of that, and you're going to choose that more and more, and a lot of the difficulties in your life are going to fall away.
Yes. Yes, and the awareness of kind of like, okay, I'm starting to get out of control. Instead of like just getting out of control, I can kind of like stop my, you know, kind of like separate myself out, kind of go into a quiet place, and, you know, humming is great, tapping is great, and kind of like, but it's like the awareness that I'm starting to get out of control.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the language for me is, you know, yeah, the language is, to me, just not helpful. But I the principle of it, I understand exactly what you're saying. So we start to feel that we're going down a road, a programmed road, that is not going to lead us to a happy destination. And we become, as we practice more, as we pay attention more, we become aware of that.
Earlier and earlier.
That's exactly right. And we're able to step back and witness rather than just being caught up in. And so,
the content,
yes,
versus the process.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And so, again, with all of these things, you know, there. I mean, you know, I can't stop myself from being this way, but again, the Buddha discovered all of this 2,600 years ago, right? And so the thing that I like about his approach is it lacks judgment, it lacks the need to separate and criticize and label, and then it lacks the self-hate that usually attends that. For most conditioned people. So can we see all of these things, again, not as if there's something wrong. Oh, now, like as you said, now I understand what was wrong with me. Well, there never was anything wrong with you, and there still isn't anything wrong with you. And you, as a unique expression of life, have these particular things to work with. I, as a unique expression, have my particular things to work with, as does every human being on this planet.
Yes, because I'm trying to find that part that cannot be destroyed.
Yes, yes, the unchanging in the changing. Exactly so. Exactly so. That is exactly what we're going for. Now, here's a little hint, just because it's a fun thing to consider. What you're looking for that, right? You're looking for that thing,
yes,
that cannot be destroyed, and what's looking for it is it.
Ha.
Ha. Now, in my experience, I can give you that answer, and it won't do a darn bit of good, because you still have to take every step to make that your own experience. But just to know that, yes, absolutely, it exists. Absolutely. It's calling you home. Yes, it is.
So it's a gift.
It is.
Being
absolutely. Everything is.
Everything
is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The piece that I learned this week that has kind of tripped me up a bit is that people who are neurodivergent have like 85,000 more critical things said to them than people that are not neurodivergent.
And Beth, I can tell you, my response to that is horse pucky. First of all,
okay,
who the hell did those numbers? Come on, 85,000? Come on, give me a break. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've lived a long time, right? And I have watched the experts come and go. You know,
yeah,
you need to eat this, and you can't eat that,
yeah,
and you have to do this, and now this is the breakthrough treatment for this, and if you're this, this is the label for this, and what you need to do then is this. And then 15 minutes later, somebody else has a new product, and they're going to come up with a new. So this is the latest, buzziest way to talk about all of this stuff. You know, you get to write articles, you get to be paid for research. You get to hang out a shingle that you're an expert on that subject and people are going to pay you to talk, you know. Okay, swell. But please,
yeah,
please don't get twisted up about it. Because the new shiny thing will be along before very long.
Kind of like the egg. Yeah, I mean, it was, you don't eat the whites, eat the whites. Eat the yolk. It's a superfood.
Don't eat too many eggs.
You
can't eat too many eggs. It's the superfood. It's the only, but not from chickens because they're all diseased and, there you go.
Thank you.
If we just get back to kind of to the basics, you know, just pay attention, notice, don't believe anything. Pay attention to everything. Don't believe it. Don't believe any of it. And don't, for God's sake, take any of it personally. Just
okay.
Is that so? That's right. Is that so? Oh, how interesting. Oh, I'm going to look into that. I will. I'll look into that. And go ahead and look into it. But for God's sake, don't believe it.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't admit it again.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Again and yet again.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. That was fabulous, Sherry. And we have about 4 minutes to the hour.
Oh, why not, Michael? We're those kind of people.
Rebellious, like as you talk.
We're rebellious. We're gonna just if we go past the hour, so be it.
So be it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, fellow rebels from Victoria.
All right. All right, neighbor. What are you up to?
Well, now it feels like ancient history, so I'm going to report a success.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. In December, I was really sick, so the first 3 weeks I had a viral thing that I think I got from my grandbaby who was in the hospital. I had babysat her. And then it turned into a bronchial infection and not very nice for another 3 weeks. So I was in a process of having to do a whole lot of resting and not having much energy, a little trouble breathing, and I noticed it wasn't so much that it's the holiday season type of thing, but the days were short. So
haven't they?
Yep. And I could feel this sort of downward glooming spiral. And I just, mm-hmm. this is not good.
Mm-hmm. This is not a spiral I want to enjoy.
No. And it's, and I didn't have a heck of a lot of energy so the things that would normally work would be to go out in the day and go for a walk. The weather wasn't good, but also I didn't have the energy and couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. So,
that would slow a girl down.
Yeah. And I got immensely cold and none of it of. Bit of snow, but it's just that lack of energy was, boy, that felt like sickness, looming old age / looking into death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And?
And I pulled out all the stops that I could think of. And because it was, things were being announced in December, I signed up for Reflective Listening Buddies, which I hadn't done for the last few years when my husband was ill and then passed away. I didn't feel I would be a reliable shower-upper because my schedule was all turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And then I signed up for Keeping Commitments and, of course, the email class. So it was anything that came up, and I did the New Year's retreat. And now I've signed up for one of the week retreats in the summer. And even if I didn't have the energy, couldn't quite imagine it, like my hand just went over to the submit and register.
Yeah. And there's more energy, right? There's more energy. And the thing, of course, you know the Huber Cure. Yeah, I'm sure you're very familiar with that. And mm-hmm. the power of resting, and how much conditioning wants to get us up, using up the energy that the body really does need to heal. And
right.
So with that little spark of energy, you know, there's the practice opportunities, there's the things to sign up for. That little shot of energy that comes with that is something that helps the body heal. It's not dissipating anything. It's actually building, right? And then, you know, here we are talking. This kind of exchange, this kind of involvement, engagement, participation is what gives the system more strength. And that's why we practice. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly. And even if ego is sort of wanting to say, you know, oh, you're too tired, you're too sick or whatever, I didn't need to listen to that because over
that's
and
right.
over, it my experience is that's not true. And I just have the faith in all of the things that I've signed up for that always benefit me. But,
yeah.
You know,
It's not true. It's not true, and it's not uplifting, right?
Right.
I mean, even if you don't feel well, even if you don't have a lot of energy, even if you're having trouble breathing, having a voice in your head report it to you as often as it can possibly do so is just not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of the things I know we're just getting over time, but when I thought about what would I make my commitment, and I thought for the first month of my reporting that this is my commitment, for a minimum of 10 minutes a day, I will dance or dance and sing or just sing. But, but you know, it just had to be something that was, I was going to show up for me. It didn't matter what I listened to. It didn't matter when I did it, except it had to be done before 8 o'clock at night.
That's right.
And you know, I just thought it was like that just uplifted me. The thought of that uplifted me. There, you know, ego had no say in that one. And it's really been helpful.
And you know, Janice, when you hear a commitment buddy talking about how thrilling it is to get that notice that I kept my commitment, then it kind of it completes the I don't know what it is, but the you know it's like an electrical charge goes off and it's received.
Yeah, it's like a circuit,
right?
Or something.
The circuit, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I'm glad you're up and about and feeling better. Got your strength up. The days are getting longer, getting a little warmer. Yeah, we're going to make it. Yep.
Yes.
All right.
we're all emerging.
That's right. That's right. Along with Ponsatoni Phil or whoever, whatever his name is. All right. Take good care of yourself. Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And yes, Sherry, I think the circuit is indeed complete tonight.
Yes. Yeah, feels good. Yeah,
feels
good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Take care.
And go happy.
Go happy.